In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate, after the end of the Easter season, special solemnities on these Sundays of Ordinary Time, and the first one being, of course, the celebration of the Most Holy Trinity. This central doctrine of our faith that makes us Christian and distinct from any other religion, even the others who consider themselves the monotheistic religions, the Jews and the Muslims, it sets Christians apart because we believe that God is triune, that he is one in three, that he is three persons in one God. And when you look at it, that's what really sets Christianity apart from the other two in truly being a supernatural religion, meaning that God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ this aspect of the Trinity, that you must believe this. We can't understand the Trinity. We can comprehend some of it, but we can't fully comprehend what it means to be three persons in one God, and that we don't worship three gods, but one God. That's a mystery, that we have to believe it. We cannot, you know, put it under a microscope or study it for all eternity. And only till we get to heaven, when we see God face to face, will we have some, you might say, even greater insight into that. Right now we accept it on faith because God has revealed it to us and we believe it. But whereas when you look at Judaism and Islam, in many cases they all share what you might say is natural religion, which the church defined back in Vatican I, that it said de fide, that man can know by natural reason alone that God exists, that there is a supreme being, and that, you know, even Aristotle understood that this supreme being was one who was not moved upon by anyone else, but was the author of all other things, you know, that he moved everything else, and that he was one, had a unity, that there could only be one supreme being and not two, or he wouldn't be supreme, you know. And so when you look at Islam, pretty much it has this unity of God, but does not accept this Trinitarian nature of that God is three persons. And so it really much, it shares the same, a good pagan could arrive at the same kind of understanding, pretty much, as a Muslim could, because they only share about the same amount of knowledge. The only thing is that maybe a pagan, but even a pagan would understand because of the natural law that he owes some kind of obeisance or some kind of worship to this supreme being, because the pagans mistakenly throughout the ages have been offering false worship to the false gods. But they know that there's something that they owe this supreme being, whoever he is, some kind of worship. It's part of the Ten Commandments, which is part of the natural law. And God, though, in his goodness to us, has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal to us that God's interior life, that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is not just one, but that he is triune. And this is probably the thing that shows us what separates Christianity apart from all the others, in many cases, that God is love. Because in order for God to manifest that love, by its very nature, love is triune. You have the lover, the beloved, and the fruit of their love. And that's what St. Maximian Kolbe, how he described his insights into the Trinity, that the Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father is a conception. And the fruit of anybody's love is a conception, and that is a third person, an eternal person called the Holy Spirit. And we know that St. John has even told us in his Gospel that God is love. And when you look at, Judaism and Islam, they have a different aspect, you might say. As long as you're a member of the club or of the religion, you're treated one way. You know, they love those members of their particular faith. But if you're not a member, then you're not required to show them the same kind of, you might say, treatment. Because, you know, even in Islam, if you're not a believer, you're treated as a second-class person. You can lie, kill him, whatever you want, and it's not considered a sin. But we know that it sets Christianity apart is that we treat believers or non-believers are all accorded the same kind. We have to love our enemies. We have to love those even if they're not believers. And we can't do whatever we want to them. Because this aspect of love or charity is manifested in a special way because of the Trinitarian nature of God. And in one sense, if you don't accept the Trinitarian nature of God, you will lose sight of this aspect of charity. It's part of the interior life of God. And most importantly, as Saint Paul says, that the love of God has been poured into our heart at baptism, you know, that we are allowed to share in this interior life, that God so loves his creation that he sent his only begotten Son to be part of that creation, to be the summit of that creation, to be leading all of creation back to him through the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at what we have received as Christians, especially as Catholics, since that is the fullness of the Christian faith, we have received a great gift, that we have been given this gift of the life of the Trinity when we receive baptism, that God incorporates us, brings us into this communion, as we heard in the opening greeting at Mass, you know, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that we're allowed to share in this life of love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why we are living a supernatural life when we exercise charity, that God's life is manifested to the degree that we live in that charity. And that's why in many cases, and first and foremost, Christians and especially Catholics should be models of charity. And of course, we know the church throughout the ages has done more to alleviate the suffering of mankind and to look upon the needs of those who are destitute or in need of whatever it may be. The church has been the foremost apostle and sacrament of that witness to the charity of God throughout the ages. And it's important that this aspect, that before the revelation of Jesus Christ, the world was a different place. Even among the Jews, the Christianity has set the bar even higher of what is expected of mankind. And that truly the world has been changed because the second person of the Blessed Trinity has entered into our world and because he has shared with us through his revelation of Jesus Christ the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the ability to be elevated and to live in that life, to love as God loves himself and to know God as he knows himself. And this aspect that God is truth and God is love is not lost in the liturgy today. For in the Divine Office this morning, one of the antiphons had this phrase, "The Father utters the truth, the Son is the truth he utters, and the Holy Spirit is truth, O Blessed Trinity." The Father utters the truth, the Son is the truth he utters, and the Holy Spirit is truth, O Blessed Trinity. This, that all truth comes from God. And when we look at our world today and it seems to be running away from the truth, seems to be running away from reality, with all the different things that it's doing that are contrary to even natural law, to natural truth, we are so much putting an obstacle. We're putting up walls between us and God. We are preventing God from being able to reach out to us because we are not willing to recognize the truth at any level, but particularly at the natural level, natural law, which St. Paul says is written on our hearts, is a stepping stone. At least it's an opening to God, who is truth, to be able to reach out to us, to reveal himself to us. And when we start putting blinders on and we put our hands in front of our eyes and start saying that evil is good and good is evil, we are preventing God from manifesting himself to us. You know, it says in the Old Testament that God is like saying, here I am, here I am. He's waving his hands in front and they keep looking past him. Where is he? I don't see him. And God's saying, here I am, here I am. That's modern man today. God is saying, here I am. You keep trying to make evil good and good evil, but here I am. I'm the truth. And man says, oh, no, that can't be it, because that doesn't satisfy my lusts, or that doesn't satisfy my greed, or whatever it may be. And another place, it says about man in the Old Testament, says that he's like a camel in heat, sniffing the wind, looking for his lover, but he is sniffing in the wrong places. You know, he goes around trying to find the love of his life, and he thinks that he's going to find it in contraception or abortion or homosexual unions. And this is a falsehood. This is ridiculous. Because if God is truth, you're not going to find love if you're not looking for the truth. And that's what Pope Benedict, when he was Pope, you know, he issued, you know, God is love, and he also, God is truth. God is truth. If you cannot have one without the other. You don't have truth if you don't have charity, and you don't have charity if you don't have the truth. So we could even say that phrase from the office today, we could also say that we could modify that with the aspect of charity or of love. You could say the Father loves, the Son is the beloved, the Holy Spirit is love, O Blessed Trinity. And until modern man understands that truth and love go together, until they're, in one sense, have the humility to accept this mystery that God is triune, and that God is the one who is the author of all reality, that until we recognize that and are humbling ourselves before the Trinity, I think that, you know, that's why even those who are trying to push all these other lies and trying to change the traditional understanding of marriage or whatever, why even they want to tinker with the Trinity. They don't like the fact that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They think that somehow that's some patriarchal male chauvinist label given to God. But they want to change it to Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. They just think we have to neuter God in that sense. Well, of course, there is no male or female in God, but God is revealing something to us about the Trinity when he uses those attributes of fatherhood, sonship, that, you know, he is the author of all. He begets. The Son is begotten, and the Holy Spirit is the fruit of that love between the Father and the Son. It takes great faith to accept that. And of course, we know that this is the year of faith in which we're living this whole year. And that is where it makes especially Christianity, as I said, supernatural. These things we cannot understand and grasp completely by natural reason. And we can't even arrive at this truth of God being one and triune. God has to reveal that to us. He has to say, this is who I am. This is the reality. I am Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our response is that we have to have the humility to say, I believe, I accept that. And to the degree that we have that kind of humility to accept that and to believe it, then God can truly transform and elevate us as individuals, as persons, in baptism when he incorporates us into that life, and he can also elevate and transform our society, our countries, our societies in which we live, because we are willing to live according to that life that God has between he and between the persons of the Trinity. Let us pray that Catholics especially will see that this aspect of the Trinity is not just something that's out there, you know, this very mysterious truth, but that the Trinity is also something very much within our hearts, because the God has come to dwell in our souls by grace and has shared that love with us, and that we need to therefore, as our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, you know, with the Trinity came a certain mission. He said to them, go out to all the nations and preach the good news and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord wants to share that truth to the whole world. It's meant for every man, woman, and child to know this love that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for one another, and that they have manifested that and want to share that love with every soul that they have created. Let us ask Our Lady especially, Our Lady who is the daughter of the Eternal Father, the mother of the Eternal Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit, to help us to truly foster in our hearts a relationship with each of the three persons of the Trinity, and to help us to grow in that love that we have received in baptism and respond in like and share it with those around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.